Hello, I'm Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management Magazine. Welcome to another Mobility Management podcast. And today I'm joined by Patrick Boardman, ATP, to discuss the mental health and emotional well-being of professionals in complex rehab, particularly in this era of COVID-19. So just to introduce Pat, he is an ATP, has been working the last 10 years as an independent ATP in Texas, but Pat has more than 25 years experience altogether in complex rehab. He's been on our board a number of years, and he has been one of my mentors, certainly, through this. So Pat talks to a lot of people in the industry, which is why I think it's a great opportunity for us to delve into a very timely and important topic. So Pat, thank you so much. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
So Pat, I'm going to start off by saying that I'm not a healthcare professional, so we're not going to be dispensing medical advice here. But as you know, during a recent conversation, you and I started talking about the mental health and the emotional well-being of our colleagues and coworkers and friends in complex rehab. And I'm not a healthcare professional. I'm also not an ATP. So I don't know what it's like to be an ATP supplier or clinician. I'm not a funding specialist. I'm not a service tech or administrator or executive or manufacturer, or any of the other professions that make up complex seating and mobility. But I have kind of been a professional observer as an editor in this industry for 20 years. And even in normal times, I know that CRT is a challenging profession. You're engineering, fitting, choosing, servicing, justifying extremely complex equipment for clients with very complex needs, and each one of them is unique. And you're still having to work within a prescribed reimbursement system. And on the other side of that, maybe the more emotional side, these clients become your friends, and you're watching them progress in their conditions, you're watching them age, and sometimes you see them pass away. So I think CRT is challenging even in the best of times. Mm-hmm. And certainly the last 2 years have not been the best of times. Suppliers and manufacturers, you know, have seen costs of shipping and fuel and raw materials and PPE rise exponentially. Some of your clients have had less access to physical therapy, and so maybe their conditions have changed or have accelerated more than they would have under normal circumstances. And everyone's personal life has gotten busier and more stressed out. People are homeschooling their kids, or they're worrying about how much everything at the grocery store costs, or maybe they have actually caught COVID or family members caught COVID, so they're dealing with that in the aftermath. So there are just so many stressors these days. And yet, mental health and emotional well-being aren't necessarily topics I hear talked about very much in CRT. So my first question to you is, what are you hearing regarding mental health, stress, anxiety, et cetera, among your colleagues and coworkers? And we're going to keep names out of the conversation just to protect people's privacy, but I wanted to know what kind of difficulties you've been seeing or hearing about.
Sure. Well, you know, I think there's a stigma in society around mental health issues. And with full disclosure, I have suffered from depression and anxiety since I can remember. So it's a deeply personal topic for me today. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. Hopefully, if someone hears this and it can help them, that'd be awesome. As far as what I'm hearing out in the field, obviously, if you think about our industry, every single day we're exposed to trauma, tragedy, illness, death and dying, and those kind of things. And so we see some things out there in the field that can be pretty traumatic, especially, and I think for me at least, I can only speak for me, that it's certainly a cumulative thing. I think that the more you see, the more you go through that, I think the more important it is to be self-aware enough to know if you're having some issues with dealing with things. What I'm hearing from coworkers, colleagues in the field is there is a tremendous amount of stress out right now in the field due to COVID, obviously. You know, we still have our typical issues, right, that we've been dealing with for years. We have our funding issues. We have reimbursement issues. So I was talking to one of my colleagues this morning about this issue, and he was telling me about his thing. The thing that bothers him the most, that keeps him up at night, are the neglect issues that we see in going in people's homes, seeing elderly people that aren't being taken care of in the way that they should be. And so those are stressors for him personally that really bother him. For me, I think it's just the cumulative effect of just seeing sadness and tragedy. And obviously, there's a lot of positive stories, and I'm certainly feel like that this industry has given me such a motivation, and I've seen so many positive things come from this industry. But I think nonetheless, there's a lot of people out there that are suffering and that are stressed out because of COVID and because of their job.
I certainly think that maybe the makeup of people in CRT, like how you all are wired, I think that may be part of it, actually. What helps you to be great at your job in CRT can also work a little bit against you in stressful situations, because I've always seen people working in CRT as having a calling. Yeah, I really do think that you all love to help people, that you have service-oriented hearts, and that's what makes you happy. And you're accustomed to serving others, and you're accustomed to putting other people first. But in extreme times like this, maybe that can also be detrimental, because maybe CRT professionals feel uncomfortable thinking about themselves first, or they might be uncomfortable acknowledging that they need support or they need to talk to somebody. But I pulled up a couple of stats. And the American Psychological Association says that rates of anxiety and depression among adults in the United States have risen four times. They're four times higher from April 2020 to August 2021 than they were in 2019 before the pandemic. So four times higher since the pandemic started. And the Kaiser Family Foundation also saw that essential workers are reporting more mental distress and substance abuse issues compared to non-essential workers. So 42% of essential workers reporting mental distress during the pandemic compared to 30% of non-essential workers. And I mentioned that, of course, because CRT professionals are essential workers. So feeling more stressed than usual since early 2020 isn't unusual. But Pat, you've already touched upon the fact that maybe CRT professionals are a little hesitant to say that they need help, maybe because there is that stigma of, you know, speaking up. Why do you think it's hard for CRT professionals to say they need help? Is it because of how they're wired to think of others, or is it a combination of that and overall how we as a society still feel uncomfortable with that a lot of the time?
So in response to your question, I think that there's probably a couple things. One, obviously, is the stigma of mental health. I was in the military when I was younger, and there was that bravado that you have where you just walk it off. You're tough. You don't have to ask for help. I played sports as well as a young person. So again, I was exposed to the just walk it off kind of mentality. And, you know, there's no crying in football or that kind of thing. So I think the stigma that's combined with it, some of the conditioning that we have. And then I think, as you said earlier about it's a calling, it certainly is a calling for me that we do put other people ahead of ourselves. And we kind of lose sight because we're busy. I think most ATPs I know are just absolutely busy all the time. And so I think that we're also just very busy and we don't take a moment to take a breath for ourselves to say, hey, how am I feeling? You know, are there any signs that I'm feeling that maybe I'm being a little more withdrawn with my family and friends? Or there's some other signs that maybe I'm not 100% okay. And in my personal experience in my life, one of the things I think that everybody should do is go to therapy. Even if you're feeling great and life's great, I think you can learn so much from going to therapy. It can help you deal with issues of your past. It can help you deal with issues of the present. And it can just give you some insight into who you are as a human being and how you can even be better than you are today. And so my experience has been super positive, having been in therapy at different stages in my life. And I can give an example of a case I had. And again, anybody that's out there listening to this, is an ATP, we've seen a tremendous amount of trauma and tragedies, I mentioned earlier, in our career. And we do get kind of a wall, I think, sometimes when we have to take that deep breath and just smile, even though we're seeing something that's kind of traumatic in that moment. And I can recall last year, I was seeing a patient, and I won't go into detail about the specifics of it, but there was something extraordinarily shocking about what I saw in this particular case. And this was not the worst thing I've seen. I've seen much more shocking things. I've seen 1,000 shocking things prior to this, but that one specific thing and that one specific image would not leave my head. And I found myself literally dozing off to sleep, and that image would be blasted in my brain, and I couldn't shake it. And it was really bothering me. And I felt a little inept almost because I was like, why is this bothering me? This is not that big a deal in the compared to the scope of things I've seen in my career. And I realized that maybe it's not just that one thing. Maybe it's perhaps the cumulative effect of all the things that I've seen in my job that was causing me the issue. So indeed, I have my therapist on speed dial. So I set up an appointment with her. We spoke about it. And yeah, it kind of turned out that, you know, I needed to kind of let some of this out of my system and talk about some of the things I've experienced. And that doesn't even begin to touch the whole COVID experience that we've all been through. The whole COVID experience is another example of a lot of cumulative things that have piled up. And I can tell you that from my experience, we've lost several patients in our pipeline, so to speak, from COVID. Actually turned out to be 1.3% of our patients have died from COVID that we are dealing with, not to mention the ones that have been sickened by COVID. For a lot of folks out there that are in our industry, we try to go to assisted living facilities and other clinics and things, and we can't even get in. They're locked down. And so we lose not only the ability to do our calling and help people, but from a selfish kind of, hey, I've got to make a living perspective, that's tough too, because it has an economic impact on us as well. And then combined with the fact that some of the lead times for the supply chain issues we're having as a result of COVID are causing pretty significant delays across the board with manufacturing. So I know that in one example, a piece of equipment that normally takes me about 2 weeks to receive has been, at this point, we're waiting 2.5 months. And that patient can't get their equipment during that time. And obviously that affects the income of the people that are doing this work as well sometimes. So those things are kind of added to the list of issues that are stressors. You know, we're bombarded every day with the news, COVID, 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 and people are dying and there's death statistics. And so we're kind of getting pulverized by all these news stories and examples, and it's in our face, so to speak. Parents are having their kids not going to school. And so we have colleagues that are struggling, just trying to figure out, where do I put my kid today? Well, I have to go do 3 evals, or I have to go to this clinic today. I do know of other examples, and certainly I don't want to go down the political road at all, but I do know of examples of people that somebody I know personally that chose not to be vaccinated and lost their job in our industry. And whether you're for or against it, you know, it still is an issue, right, that person's dealing with. So, and I think other people are dealing with the debate of those issues. And then, you know, just for me personally, and I think I've talked to several of my colleagues in preparation for this talk today, just the fear of dying, especially in the early days of COVID, was pretty traumatic. You know, we didn't know we just knew that people were dying in greater numbers every day. And I do recall a moment where I walked into a hospital and I did see the 18-wheelers outside with the refrigerated trucks, and I knew what that meant. And I'm like, am I doing the right thing here? Maybe I should be home. But like most of my colleagues, we went and did our job. And so that's another stressor. You know, the risk to your health, also the risk to your family. You know, and you know, I had to make that personal decision. You know, do I take a leave of absence from my industry for a while, because I live with an elderly mother that I take care of in her late 70s, and she has COPD. And I knew that if I brought COVID home to her, that could be endangering to her as well. So COVID also, and there's many other things we can talk about. We can talk about COVID for days, but from my experience, those are some of the things that we've been seeing out there with myself and my colleagues that have added to the stressors. And I think when you combine what we talked about previously in just what we see in our job every day, and you combine the economic impacts of what's happening in the last 2 years, and just all the things surrounded that we're pummeled by with COVID, there's a lot of stressors out there. So I think that at the end of the day, now more than ever, it is a time, and I'm so grateful to you, Lori, for letting this topic be talked about today. And hopefully there'll be less of a stigma as a result, especially in our industry, and that people will reach out and take a look in the mirror and say, hey, am I okay? And if I'm not, you know, I'm sure you're going to provide some resources at the end of this where you can get some help and talk to somebody.
But Pat, it's ironic, I think, because what makes you so good at your job, what makes so many ATP clinicians and suppliers good at their job, what makes the engineers so good, what makes the funding specialists so good, you take this personally. Mm-hmm. You have a personal investment, even though this isn't the equipment for you. This is much more than a job. This is not just something that you clock in and you clock out. This is more than that. We hear ATPs all the time talk about, you know, oh, I was there when he got his first chair, and I was there when he graduated kindergarten, and now he's graduating high school. You take this seriously. And I know that ATPs get invitations to graduations and birthday parties and weddings. And you become part of the family. But the flip side of that is that all that caring, when you let all that in, and when you take it personally, and when you fight for the right equipment or the right funding or justification, when you work that hard, these people do become your family, don't they? And they become part of your life. And so that actually, what makes you so good at your job can also cause you more stress. So that, you know, that's ironic, is that people who maybe just treat this as a 9-to-5 punch in, punch out job, maybe it ends up that they feel a little less stress. Although there's so much stress these days, I'm sure everybody feels part of it, but probably the more personally invested you are, the people who say, absolutely, I have skin in this game, even though it's not my wheelchair we're talking about, they probably are more susceptible. You know, that's kind of the irony of it. And I am, though, reminded of that, you know, that old metaphor that people always use when you're on an airplane and they're going through the pre-flight safety instructions. The flight attendants always say, if the masks drop from the ceilings, put your mask on first before assisting others with their masks. Because as much as you want to help your child or you want to help the person sitting next to you, if you're unconscious because you didn't put your mask on, you're not going to be able to help anyone else. So the flight attendants always say, put your own mask on first, make sure you're situated and safe before you help others. And so that's kind of my next question is, you know, what can we do as an industry? What do we do about changing that dynamic so that we make it okay to think about ourselves first? That it's not about being selfish or anything like that, but it's about good self-care that ultimately leads you to be able to care for others. Because once again, if you cannot take care of yourself, if you're not going to be there, then you're not going to be able to help anyone else going forward. So how do we start that? I guess, do we invite people to talk? Do we check in with them?
Well, you know, this experience of being on this podcast helped with that a little bit, the answer that I'm about to give, because I interviewed some of my colleagues and got their take on these issues. And what was surprising to me was when I would ask a manufacturing rep or a therapist or an ATP these questions that we posed today, I think to a person, they were kind of a little shocked that, wait, oh yeah, interesting. I've never thought about my mental health as it relates to CRT. And yeah, and I started asking, tell me about some of the cases you've had that really impacted you and stressed you, or, you know, you feel like you were traumatized by. And they had, every one of these people had cases that in some way or another affected them. And so what was very clear to me was that, and the very reason this podcast is, there's not a lot of conversation going on in CRT about mental health. And so I think that anybody listening today, just ask your colleagues how they're doing, you know, are you okay? I think that's just open a dialogue, a friendship, to just check in on people and see how they're doing. I know that for me personally, I've got significant amount of friends that have helped me over the years, just by asking if I'm okay, you know, how you doing, man? And I'll tell them, oh yeah, I had a rough day, and this is what happened. And then just talking, even if it's just a brief conversation like that, and even if you just simply say, hey, it was a tough day, you kind of feel heard. And I think that helps a tremendous amount. I think on another front, I think owners of companies out there and managers that have some control over the shaping of their organizations can certainly be more aware of this issue. And I think creating some dialogue internally or some processes internally in their companies where, even if it's just, you know, here's a flyer, if you have trouble, here's who you want to call. Because I don't think a lot of people that don't go out in the field and see what we see every day and do what we do every day have a full understanding of some of the things that happen out there in the field, that, you know, the neglect issues we talked about earlier, some of the traumatic things, the death and dying, all those kind of things. So I think that if companies can just be aware that, hey, you know, your teams that are going out in the field have a pretty tough job sometimes. And maybe it's a good idea to not only check in on them and have some empathy about the things they experience and the good that they do for people out there in the world, but also some resources that you can just, even if you just print them and put them on your bulletin board or whatever, to let people know that there's ways that they can get some assistance if they're struggling.
Okay, so it sounds like kind of normalizing that kind of conversation mm-hmm. could be a good first idea, because I was just thinking, you know, your dentist, my dentist, they encourage us to come in every 6 months for cleaning, whether or not it's not like just come when you have a cavity or when you have pain, right? Come to see us every 6 months, because that by doing that, you kind of prevent, or we catch early any bigger problem, right? And definitely when we have a cavity or something, I mean, you don't just break a tooth and then just deal with it for 6 months. I mean, we're pretty good on a physical level. I think we tend to be better. Maybe it's saying, oh, I think I need a crown. I think I broke a tooth. I think I chipped a tooth or whatever. I'm going to go to the dentist, and we make that appointment sooner than later. But when it comes to maybe somebody's feeling, I don't know, a little burned out or a little tired, like you said, they're just not interested in doing the same things for fun that they used to be. They just want to kind of stay home a little bit more, whatever. Pretty normal if that happens occasionally, right? But if we see something like this is happening more and more, and it's now a routine, it's becoming more regular, I guess normalizing that conversation and even normalizing checking in with people, you know, maybe. Is the start, because we certainly would not feel ashamed to say, hey, Pat, you know, I chipped a tooth last night eating popcorn. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go to the dentist in the next couple of days. I mean, you would just be like, well, yeah, go to the dentist, take care of that. Why be in pain if you don't, you know, any longer than you have to be in pain? But when it comes to maybe talking to a therapist or talking to someone, at least getting assessed and kind of taking inventory of how you're feeling, that just seems like such a foreign conversation. But it's not a big deal to go to the dentist. It's not a big deal if you tweak your shoulder, you want to go to, you know, your PT or whatever. So I guess it's just sort of normalizing those conversations, right? So that our emotional and mental well-being, that we can talk about it as easily as having to go to the dentist.
Absolutely. And I think that at the end of the day, it's all about just, like you said, checking in with the people that you care about that are in your circle. You know, just being observant, you know, if their behavior is maybe a little less engaged, those kind of things. I mean, all the things that you would look for in your family, look for that in your colleagues a little bit too. And if they're less engaged, more withdrawn, those kind of things, just check in with them, see how they're doing. And even if they're not, because I know that for myself, typically in my lifetime, in the times that I've had depression, that's when I actually project a more positive image of myself, more happy. I don't know why I do that, but that's something I've experienced. And so check in with people regardless if you think they're okay or not, because you don't really know. We all wear a mask in life when we go out in the world, and we don't know what people are going through in their personal life and in their own struggles internally. And I think just being more in this time of divisiveness that we're all experiencing politically and with the economy and all these things that we're all going through, I think now more than ever is a time to just love on people and check on them and see if they're doing okay. And I think that, you know, the world would be a lot better place if people did that every day.
No doubt, Pat. Absolutely agree. And I just say, occasionally I'll mention to somebody that I'm interviewing that I have a headache or something, and they immediately, like the next day, they'll check in like, hey, you're feeling better? So if there's ever an industry that understands, I think this could be it. You know, it's a small, tight-knit industry. But maybe we just do need to check in on each other a little bit more these days. And if that becomes a habit, then so much the better, right? If that becomes, if that's when we get out of the pandemic, that we permanently check up on each other a little bit more, hey, at least we got something good out of it, I guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Pat, thanks so much. I really appreciate the insight. I appreciate you talking to friends and colleagues about this. And I really appreciate your being willing to talk about a very difficult subject. I think that makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but this kind of talk where we can just be honest and talk about this just in the same way that we would talk about kyphosis or, right, you know, or how to measure a seat width or how much camber should we build in. I think that that's maybe a really great first step to make this as ordinary a topic, you know, as, hey, should we try an alternative driving control? Got to be willing to take care of ourselves too. So Pat Boardman, thank you so much for your time on this challenging subject. Before we wrap up, I did want to let everyone know that we've listed resources on our website, mobilitymgmt.com, in case you or someone you know is feeling stressed and would like to talk to someone. And if you're listening to this podcast on our website, those resources are also hyperlinked in this podcast's description. But if you are in distress right now and have thoughts about harming yourself, please, please reach out to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. That's 800-273-8255. That's a free service available 24 hours a day. They route you to someone nearby, so locally to you. And it offers specialized support as well for veterans and their families. Mobility Management Podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. The best way to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes is to subscribe, and you can also go onto our website, mobilitymgmt.com, to listen there. Thanks very much for listening. Pat, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And we'll be back again soon.